tonight, Dr. Judy Wood. In the last 8 years, obviously, the Bush regime, there are not hundreds, if not thousands, tens of thousands of websites that are dedicated to supposedly getting the truth out about 9/11. And all of them have at least one similar characteristic. And that is that the government was behind this.
Yeah.
Now we have problems in how much information is given out. Is it thermite? Is it thermate? What's really going on? And that's what I, and the guest we have tonight, what I'm so excited about is that it's really going to open, I think, the minds of our listeners who already have expanded minds and who already do think out of the box, going, now, wait a minute. How come I haven't heard of this?
Yeah.
How come I haven't thought of this?
And, you know, Scooter, her work was new to me. I'd had a couple of hits in the email box of people sharing the work and the relationship between a hurricane, Hurricane Erin, off the East Coast and 9/11. And I was fully aware of weather modification and directed energy and infrasound waves and so forth. But I couldn't make the link between Erin and 9/11. I'm like, well, okay, so we get a nice stiff north wind on the backside
and
of this
every
hurricane.
Documentary from PBS, Why the Towers Fell, every documentary. It was a beautiful September day.
Until?
The sun was shining. The temperature was perfect. There wasn't the hint or suggestion of tyranny or terrorism.
Or a big hurricane.
Or a big hurricane
hanging off the coast.
And we were looking at the satellite imagery in which the clouds were hanging literally over Cape Cod.
Yeah, they were right
and
there.
And what That's is amazing. That from Cape Cod to Manhattan? Is that it's a 90-minute drive. I know that. It takes an hour and a half to drive up.
If you start at the lower end of the Cape.
What's the physical mile as the crow file? Is it
maybe
200
miles?
200
maybe
miles.
200 miles.
Oh, so it's not an hour and a half drive.
It's probably closer to four. I mean, if you're coming from P-Town.
Is it the Hamptons that's an hour and a half?
There you go. There you go. That eastern end of Long Island.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My confusion.
We'll cross over to Block Island then.
Because I have confusion, America, we are going to get to the truth behind all of the problems in these stories. And we're going to go back to 9/11. And I'm going to ask all of you, take your memory banks and go back to September 11th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you? What were you thinking? Your gut was right that day, America, by the way. Your gut was right.
And while you're thinking back, if you've got access to a computer, go to www.drjudywood.com. And she has assembled an impressive amount of visual documentation about that fateful day in September.
I was going to say, because we were sitting in the talk studio early on tonight, we were rather kind of impressed by the body of work.
Very impressive.
Yes.
That's available on the website. I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. Now's the time to go tell your friends, your enemies, everybody you know about the newest radio sensation. It's called America Now. Myself, Scott, and Barb, we're sitting in with you tonight. This is Colorado's first radio station, News Talk 1310 KFK. Make it your radio station. Be a part of the discussion. Be a part of the solution. And stop being part of the problem. Including the International Space Station. Scott, Barb, and myself, we are America Now, and we are taking your calls tonight. First of all, live, local, lethal, and for all of you who are loud, it's 970-353-1310. And for those of you across the United States, our number, as always, is 877-353-1310. And for those viewing in the chat room over at AmericaNow.com and everywhere else on the World Wide Web, give us a call at 877-TRUTH-88. That's 877-TRUTH-88. Sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy. We love GoDaddy.
We do.
I think our listeners are rapidly going to discover why we love GoDaddy in the next week as we build this site.
It lets us reach an audience that you just can't do with just one medium. And the internet's becoming the TV for radio.
We love Al Gore.
It's a good thing. Yes. That wonderful adventure.
We don't love the stories and the headlines. And we don't like this fighting. They've got us fighting. They've got us where they want us. White fighting black, young fighting old, Christian versus Muslim, and now enter the Hindus. Fight, 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 fight. America, if you really believe that cave-dwelling towel heads were able to execute one of the most... What's
It's brilliant. It was a brilliant exercise.
Well, that's what the cave-dwelling towel heads.
With direct connection to the highest levels of the U.S. industry and government.
And
the best weapons.
You continue to stick your heads in the sand about Don Rumsfeld working hand-in-hand with Dick Cheney and working hand-in-hand with Saddam Hussein and working hand-in-hand with Osama bin Laden. Well, then, fine. There's nothing we can do to save you. Nothing. You sat outside today and watched the chemtrails and went, those are pretty clouds.
Aren't they? And an otherwise beautiful sky.
But America and to the globe, every nation right now, its people are discovering their government is lying to them. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me? Look at what's going on in Greece.
Oh.
What happened there? Off the radar and suddenly 72 hours of students killing everybody in mass hysteria.
Riots.
Dogs and cats living together and
it's just mayhem.
It's mayhem.
Just
exactly what they want.
It is. It's how you bring down governments to bring in a stronger, more central authority, and you replace the sovereign governance with a global authority. It's part of the plan.
And that bothers me.
Yes, it should.
Well, it should bother everyone.
It's not. That's what bothered. No one is really... Everyone right now is still worried about how are they going to feed their families for Christmas? What are they going to...
They've got you looking one direction and totally in fear and concerned about that while they continue to play out their agenda.
Well, for our World Wide Web listeners, let's break open the giggles and let's put up a page for drjudywood.com. drjudywood.com. Pour yourself something strong.
Maybe
a bottle standing by.
Maybe a double.
But remember, all of us are adults. Many of us were responding to heat and light on that day, September 11th, 2001. And I want to go to our phone lines at 877-353-1310 or 877-TRUTH-88, as the case may be. We are speaking with our guest tonight, Dr. Judy Wood. Judy, you're with us?
Yes, hello.
All right, everybody settle down. My first question, and then I'm done.
Okay.
Because, Judy, in broadcasting, I was on the air September 11th, 2001. And part of my career now is the fact that I am not going to further the agenda that makes no sense. So I left a rather cushy job in Top 40 to come to work in minimum wage talk radio. But what I want to know from you, because there's a lot of information on your website and a lot of factual data, etc. But I'm gonna say this on the microphone because I want your reaction and then I want your story. I knew in my gut, my third eye, whatever you want to call it, I knew what I was watching unfold wasn't right. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew it wasn't right. Does that make sense, Doctor?
Oh, yes.
All right. That morning, the fateful events unfolding from September 11th, 2001, as you were inundated by the media and whatever stories, myths, whatever we're going to call them tonight, that's fine. But what was your gut telling you?
Something didn't smell right. I felt that somebody was pulling a trick on us, and I didn't know what the trick was yet, so I started looking for it.
Can you paint the picture of where were you at your desk that day?
I was at home initially because I taught late classes and an evening class that day, and I'm kind of a night owl. So I had my alarm set for 9 o'clock, but I was already up then. And so when my alarm came on the clock radio, I heard it kind of in the background, and these guys telling this sick joke about some guy who's, you know, made a wrong turn on the way home from the party last night and ran his airplane into a building.
Oh, my goodness.
It sounded like some goofballs, but it went on and on and on. Like, when are they going to get to the punchline?
Yeah.
I was entering grades or something like that in the next room. And after a while, I finally decided to go turn on TV and look. And, maybe it was something they were talking about that was real. Like, but you never know what these guys are talking. I saw something going on. I flipped to another channel. And I had rabbit ears, so I had a limited number of channels I could check. But they all were playing the same tune.
The same story. Everybody watching those planes. And earlier on, you had mentioned the distraction factor in this story. And it almost makes you wonder if those planes weren't the distraction for the real destruction.
Well, what was strange about the same thing on each channel, usually if there's something that goes on, there's a big scramble with the media as to who's covering what and what's happening. Mm-hmm. You have somebody covering, you know, their loved one being taken to the airport, somebody else talking with a parts manufacturer of the airplane, somebody else talking about, you know, how they got traumatized when they saw X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
But here we saw the same image played over and over again on every channel.
And over and over and over for hours and hours and hours.
And
programming,
no commercial break.
Programming and conditioning, that's what I saw.
Well, at the point of greatest interest, when everybody's glued to it,
mm-hmm.
show them what you want them to see.
Well, and force directing them to, because again, in Top 40, the infamous decision, we're not really going to throw the, yeah, we're throwing the switch. To who?
To news.
CNN and Fox? Are you guys insane?
Yeah.
Who's telling us to do this? Corporate.
Corporate.
That generic blanket, you know, it's corporate's fault and it's corporate. Well, corporate says we're doing it. Go home to your loved ones.
So what about that day when you watched? I was stoned when the towers fell, to be honest with you.
Too.
Stunned or stoned?
It was still early in the morning.
Stunned.
I was definitely stunned because I had to be awoken. I was going to sleep in that morning, at least a little bit beyond 7:46 when that first tower was hit. And I'm like, there's no way. But, I mean, I knew ahead of the anchors that, okay, if they left, those planes left New York, if they left Boston, they're full fueled. I mean, if they're headed to the West Coast, they are full of fuel. And they were designed to withstand a 707 impact. And they didn't. There was all this dust.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about what clued you in that it might not have been the planes?
Well, in my class, when I introduced shear stress, I taught strength of materials. I would try to give the students an image they wouldn't forget, and then also make it kind of fun. So I showed Roadrunner cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this particular cartoon of the Roadrunner the coyote trying to get the Roadrunner, and he has this big Acme steel plate. Hops out in the middle of the road, holds it out there, and there's this big whoosh that flies past. Who's that? And he looks at the steel plate, and there's this perfect cutout of a Roadrunner. He goes, you see the expression on his face, must have been the Roadrunner. And, you know, that's what I saw in the buildings. It was like a Roadrunner silhouette of passage. Airplanes don't make airplane-shaped holes in buildings.
So basically you saw those shapes in the buildings?
Well, I saw there was a hole in the building, but there's no, you know, half the airplane sticking out here. Or another thing that really hit me, if you see the NASCAR crashes,
mm-hmm.
something goes tumbling.
Right, exactly.
Cartwheels and pieces go flying.
And where were the pieces?
If an airplane went into the tower at anything but exactly symmetrically head on,
mm-hmm.
and exactly in the center of the building, exactly everything's nothing can be perfect. So if there's any asymmetry, the nose goes in at an angle, and the plane rotates, and the tail flings off and goes flying.
Well, it was like the only thing that came out of the other side of those buildings was a fireball and maybe some landing gear and an engine, and that was it.
Oh, how do you know an engine came out?
Well, I thought they found... No, that was the Pentagon. That was the Pentagon they found a JT-7.
Yeah, they did not find the engines.
Wow.
They found a 737's engine.
Yeah, but not...
And where it was located, it had to have, like, flown over, you know, the post office and the next block... And the next block, and then drop straight down into the canyon, you know, made a right angle turn downwards. Because if it went, you know, this parabolic path, mm-hmm. it would have had to go through some buildings.
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I suppose the point that your work stands apart from the other conspiracy theorists and the other engineers like Dr. Stephen Jones is that you bring in a whole different kind of... energy weapon or weapon period other than thermite and C4 and an airplane to bring down a building, that there's something else going on to turn those buildings to dust. And I suppose we'll have you answer the question when we get done with the break.
Our guest tonight is Dr. Judy Wood. You can break open your giggles and learn a lot more about the events as they unfolded on September 11th, 2001. www.drjudywood.com. Or you can get the link right off our website, americanow.com. That's America with a K, what's left of it, that is. We're going to go to the bottom of the hour in the news, but get the news when you need it and when you want it. Voted number one 2 years in a row by the Colorado Broadcasters Association of America. www.1310kfk.com. After you've gotten the news and you've got some questions for our guest tonight, Dr. Judy Wood, excuse me, you can give us a call at 877-353-1310 or the Truth Hotline at 877-TRUTH-88. Hotline, of course, sponsored, as always, by GoDaddy, Friends of America Now and soon to be yours. Check them out online at the World Wide Web, GoDaddy.com. That the right screen window works right, and we'll do that at the top of the hour. So listeners, whichever room you're in right now, just stay there through the top of the hour, and we'll get those last bugs worked out. Yes, the American flag is upside down, but that's because it's a desperate cry for help. Wrong. It shows that America is in crisis.
Mm-hmm. It is.
America is in distress. The international symbol for distress is hanging your flag upside down.
She needs our help.
Hence the Project America Now. America, we have been hoodwinked, if nothing else, into fighting an illegal war. The death of hundreds of thousands. I am not a card-carrying liberal.
No, but you can see the facts.
Hundreds of thousands of dead Iraqis for democracy. No. For oil. No.
No.
For bloodlines. Perhaps. But the reality, you cannot look past the fact. We didn't know about 9/11. There's no way we could have foreseen 9/11. Secret Service picked us up and we didn't even feel our feet touch the ground. But the... Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, they all admitted it in the 60 Minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
Secret Service was talking their ear. POTUS 43, GW up on Angel. Angel's a target. Put this bird on the ground right now. Secret Service says...
No.
Sorry, Mr. President. Who's talking in your ear? The shadow. And I always said that's the closest admission to the shadow government we'll probably ever get.
Mm-hmm. Which Cheney's probably running.
You know,
if there's anybody that knows it all,
he's definitely in there.
Mount Weather, Virginia. Oh, Mount Weather's been decommissioned for 150 years. That's where they all ran that day. And then they come back to the steps of the Capitol to prove their patriotism and show that they can't even lip sync to God Bless America.
Yeah, and sing a song.
That was... Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
It was,
but it was thought out. And how long would the American public take the pill? How long would we take that story with before we went all Greek and went marched in the streets? But that hasn't happened yet.
I hope our listeners who are listening tonight and chatting in the chat room, but 9/11, pros and cons, what you believe, what you don't believe, what is it going to take for you to become a believer in all of this? We're answering the questions with our guest tonight, Dr. Judy Wood, who's joining us back on the phones. Judy, you're with us?
Yes. Hi.
God, before we get any further, God bless you for all the good work you're doing at drjudywood.com.
Well, thank you.
I know that the new Internet 2.0, your site probably won't stay up.
Oh. I'm sure she's got it archived.
Yeah, she's...
Oh, they're going to make it obsolete?
Well, you're an enemy of the state. You're spouting propaganda. I'm sure you've been attacked on 1,000 different levels. Names that I couldn't even dream being called. But so as the days after 9/11 unfold, Judy, because you had a regular life prior to 9/11, as all Americans did. But what, I guess my question is, what made you want to give up a credible life and put on some tinfoil, and, you know, because that's what we're called.
And become the incredible.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, from credible to incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even though we agree that drjudywood.com is an incredible website.
This is true.
Well, first of all, I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist. Or, you know, nothing about my site is about conspiracy because...
Fact.
Yeah, it's about fact. It's about evidence, about physical facts. Now, conspiracy involves whodunit. I don't get into whodunit.
It's just been done.
Yeah, and let's see what got done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in the physics of what got done and looking at, you know, the physical evidence and physical things.
All right, well, then let's get to the physical evidence. Let's have other people worry about thermite and thermate and elsewhere. Let's get to the physical evidence that our listeners can find out about at drjudywood.com.
And it doesn't even involve, you know, blind faith or beliefs or...
It
just takes logical thought.
So, the dust. Let's start with the dust.
Okay. The dust. The dust came down and up and went every which way, but the stuff that landed, it's surprising how fast it landed and cleared out, you know, upwind of the complex, because the air was blowing kind of south at about 5 miles an hour. In about 15 minutes, you could see, there's a picture I have that you can see clear blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
But then it starts coming up from the ground. So how did it do that? It had to be breaking down after it landed.
Oh, so you're saying it was still demolecularizing as
as
it landed.
Because how can you get, you know, you drive down a dirt road behind another vehicle. How close do you follow?
Well, not close enough to get that dust inside the car.
Yeah, about, what, 15, 20 seconds gap?
Yeah.
Right, so you're basically saying that there was a gap between the time the dust stopped going up when suddenly there was additional dust coming up from the ground.
Another plume.
A whole new plume.
All right, well, what does that tell you, Judy?
That whatever's going on, the dust is breaking down. This isn't something that got blown apart for whatever reason.
How would it break down?
Something weird's going on.
Well,
tell us something we don't know.
Yeah, well, we know it's weird, but how,
well, see,
how could this be coming
for? I didn't know anything about, you know, what kind of weaponry is available. I didn't know anything about energy weapons. But after looking at the evidence told me that it exists. Because how did this happen?
Something we're talking about EMP technology? EM technology?
Scalar?
EM and the scale. Oh, we're back to HARP. Our good
well, HARP was
there.
One of the antennas that on Dr. Wood's site that you can see as it measures the magnetic field of the planet. There was a change in the steadiness of that field, you know, almost at the moment that first plane hit the tower. The field began to change.
Talk about that, Judy.
Yeah, but I've got this chart on my website. Well, if you go to the homepage, there's something that says Cliff Notes. If you click on that, you'll go to this page where I have some of everything.
Okay.
And there's a magnetometer readings. They're near the bottom of the page, but you get to it from the index at the top. Let's see, it's W, that section. If you click on the button by W, it'll take you to that section.
All right, there it is. Well, we looked at it during the pre-show, and
and it's quite dramatic.
There's
actually
vertical lines leading up to the event. And the first vertical line is when the North Tower got its hole. I don't say a plane hit. I don't bother figuring that one out. It got a hole in it. I think we can all agree with that. We don't know how the hole got there. There's a vertical line. Well, it's 846, and then there's one when the second tower got its hole. Then when the second tower went poof, and then when the North Tower went poof.
Now, what does that suggest?
Well, it's a coincidence that the Earth's magnetic field had a sudden shift with each one of those events.
Now, in your research, have you found this to have happened at any other points in history?
It's hard to find that much data. It only goes back so far.
The HARP, the history of HARP's activity.
Anything similar
well,
th- to
the
pattern
really,
you saw?
To do with HARP directly, but maybe indirectly, because these are just recording stations of magnetometer readings.
That's right.
And there's six different stations, and they're in Alaska. Alaska sensed the magnetic field changing at the same time something in New York was happening.
So I guess the question is, have you in your research found any other incidences where the magnetometers have recorded this type of activity?
Something that I could, you know, definitely line up with something else. No, I haven't seen that, but I haven't looked that hard.
It's
hard to get the data as well.
Well, the other thing is, there hasn't been another instance like this to where you could overlay this kind of experience on top of magnetic data. Maybe the Murrow Building bombing in 95, you know, in April of 95.
That might be interesting to go back and look, actually, at the magnetometer readings from that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing it would be curious to look at is, like, each space shuttle launch.
Mm-hmm. See, I was thinking the tsunami.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
I was thinking Banda Aceh.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a very real possibility. That's a very good possibility.
That would be a good one.
And that data is fresh. I mean, we're just in 2004, so that data is still on the web.
I don't know about after tonight.
Yeah,
good point.
So we're So something had to, something else had to bring the towers down. Something superimposed atop the controlled implosion of that building, because we all saw the little puffs as those steel girders were popped with C4 and the pancaking began.
Oh, wait a minute, you're making some assumptions there.
This is true.
How do you know what, you know, to make those assumptions?
Well, again, it goes back to photographic evidence of I did a lot of this in like 2000, 2001 from whatreallyhappened.com. And the photographic evidence they showed of the of what they looked like were the steel girders being popped as the floors began to pancake. So what do you interpret that as?
Well, if you think about what's going on here, if you're pancaking floors down, you know how much volume of air and desks and furniture is in each floor?
It's got to be blown out somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, it's got to go somewhere. And the phenomenal thing is, if you calculate how fast it has to squish out, it has to squish out. Well, as it, you know, the roof starts coming down faster and faster. You know, it
accelerates.
Free fall speed. I calculated it past that ejection coming out passes Mach 1 at about the forget the 55th floor or 56th floor.
To maintain the timeline of the speed of the fall that was observed.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's if it's coming out as their story goes. If you know, the official story, if it were true, and you're pancaking down, that air has got to squish out. And it's got to squish out faster and faster as the roof line comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's Mach 1.4 by the time it gets to the ground.
Yeah.
And you know, we didn't have blasts like that out of the building. So gee, how can you explain that?
I don't know.
Well, how do you explain it?
In order to have that problem where you have to squish air out and material, you have to have the building intact.
Mm-hmm.
How about if the building just turns to dust right where it is? It doesn't need to squish the air out.
So it basically gets pulverized or incinerated or however you want to. Would you term it?
I'm working to get this word entered in the dictionary. Dustified.
Dustified.
Dustified, yeah, well, yeah.
It's a new process, new phenomenon, so it needs a new name.
Well, because when you watch the slow motion video of these towers falling, they are dust as they leave their standing space. It's like a portion of the tower goes up, this little puff goes up and out, and then the rest of it just settles.
But it doesn't seem... The amounts don't seem to add up, do they, as far as the amount of dust and the amount of debris?
Maybe. It's hard to tell. Like it looked like some of it went into the upper atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of it went down, some of it spread around town. It went so many different places, it's hard to actually calculate what went where and how much quantity you had. But there were several inches deep all around southern Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as it was, and then if you draw a circular, spread zone, that takes you out into the water, into the Hudson, so there's probably a bunch that got dumped there.
Be nice to have a measurement of all the trucks that took stuff to the dump. We'll continue this interview after the break.
America, now's your chance to know the truth. Learn the secrets they don't want you to know on America Now.
Northern Colorado, all points on the globe. America Now is the project, and the only thing missing for this project is you on our phone lines at 877-353-1310, 970-353-1310, or the America Now premiere of our new telephone number, 877-TRUTH-88. That's 877-848-87. What? No, I got it. 877-878-8488.
You got it.
Hey,
you impress me every night.
I don't know how. I impress myself just getting up. Lost my will to live. My government lies to me. Management. Okay, no offense, management. You haven't lied to me today, so I'll take that back. But
this is day by day, right?
I open up the paper. Lies mm-hmm. in the paper. Lies in the media. It's all over the place.
It's all an illusion.
We've just started our interview with Dr. Judy Wood, and I'm afraid that we've barely scratched the surface. Judy, you're still with us on the phones at 877-353-1310.
Yes.
Is there a chance in God's green earth that we could ask you to stay on into the next hour, if possible, to talk more about this as well as to take calls from our listeners?
Sure.
She did say she was a night owl.
Yes.
That's a good thing. I'd left you with a question, and it's escaped me.
Well, we got questions from the chatters in the chat room.
We
Fire
do.
One of those. They're all good ones, actually.
I didn't know whether that really pertained to here. One of the chat rooms said, one of the anonymous streamers, asked Dr. Wood about the Midwest earthquake and the bizarre cloud cover and the sudden cyclonic spit at the time of the place of the New Madrid Fault earthquake. And I don't understand that context.
I have some images of it on my website.
Oh, okay.
I guess I don't want to flip around too much different pages because there's plenty of stuff to talk about. But yeah, it was very interesting that it seemed like sort of a cause and effect, or both happened simultaneously, or there's some kind of interaction. And I haven't convinced myself sufficiently that which came first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what caused what? If you have some kind of energy directed at that fault, and then to make the fault happen. Did that cause it? Or if you have the ground just wanted to shift all on its own,
does
the energy release anyway?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's hard to sort those out. But it is interesting that energy release changed the weather pattern. It sort of looked like this big hurricane right over, centered over there. But before then, there's this big, smooth cloud from Canada to the Gulf that was just moving across and turned into this big swirl. Like it added this rotation to it.
Interesting. I haven't found that on your page yet.
She's only got 7,400 pages here on her site,
drjudywood.com.
We should get a site like this.
This is what happens
this
if you're a night owl.
This is impressive, yeah.
You do this kind of work. It's amazing. So what's the importance of Erin in this story? Hurricane Erin.
It's kind of an interesting coincidence. It goes straight towards New York City for 4 days in a row, all the 4 days leading up to 9/11.
Practically a straight line.
It really is. It's considering the rest of the path of the hurricane, which is a little wandering and a little loop-de-loops, and then that is a bee's eye.
Do you see that as a coincidence?
I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah, I don't believe in coincidences.
Okay, but Scott is a former
yeah.
meteorologist, and you've tracked more than enough hurricanes.
I was so clueless to all of this. I was just beginning to wake up to weather modification and these kind of weapons when 9/11 happened.
Okay.
This was
fair enough.
Yeah, this was beyond my threshold, and yeah, I was three years after that before I had my aha moment. So I didn't make any connections.
Well,
I
back
was
to Dr. Judy Wood. What does the evidence of
Thank you.
Hurricane? What does that
I tried
say?
To find other hurricanes that had a similar path so I could compare,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and I couldn't find any.
Hmm.
They tend to go up the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come from out in the middle of the Atlantic, swoop up past Florida, and go up the East Coast up into Canada. They don't go perpendicular to that.
Yeah.
And there just are no other ones like that, you know, heading straight to shore in a straight line, and then make a U-turn and go back out to sea.
It did. That was a hook. I mean, once 9/11 happened, that hurricane changed course by more than 90 degrees.
Turned around and booked it out of town.
It did. It really did. And that's a pretty sweet coincidence.
The morning of 9/11, it was the closest to New York City and the largest. It was a tighter hurricane the day before and was a Category 3.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got into position, it slowed down because it spun out. It's like a figure skating putting their arms out.
Mm-hmm.
And it, went, covered the tip of Cape Cod, tip of Long Island, down right out east of Washington, D.C., big old thing.
See, and what's funny, I mean, I still remember what I was wearing. I remember the day in Denver. I remember what I had for breakfast. I remember what we were playing. I remember all of it.
Wow.
And now...
You don't remember Hurricane.
Well, no. Here's what I do remember that again, and my days are messed up because in that world, I was still in nightclubs. Here's what we had for the news when I got home from the nightclub the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Condit, Chandra Levy.
Yep.
Gone off the face of the earth now. That story forever gone. But Gary Condit, Chandra Levy, and the admission by Don Rumsfeld of the missing $2.2 trillion.
Yeah.
Okay. The earthquake. The hurricane was literally page 9. It didn't exist in the news.
No, it didn't.
It did as a potential. They were tracking the storm, but again, we see 4 days of straight, oh my God, here it comes.
And no drama,
left
nothing.
Turn.
Yeah.
Almost as if the hurricane says, hell with this. New York's under attack. I'm not showing up to get blamed for this.
I don't want that dust in my business.
Yeah. I've got some links to some old articles that they did leave a track record of having discussed it on page 9 or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was discussed, but minimally.
Yep.
And it was like, okay, it's going to break up and go out to sea. Actually, when it passed Bermuda, that was the news, that it was heading northwest out to sea, never to be seen again. Northwest from Bermuda, that's directly towards New York City.
So when we talk about directed energy weapons, do you need to have a source of energy to redirect?
Like a hurricane?
But what I mean by directed energy weapons, I use that in the most general sense. It's used as a weapon. It involves energy, and it's directed. It's not like a kinetic energy device like a bomb.
No.
It doesn't have to be in direct contact with something.
Nope. But it still has to have access to resonate those buildings. There's got to be
something.
Yeah, either it's a small nuclear generator on a satellite or an aircraft or whatever the platform.
How do you know how much energy is needed?
I don't. I don't know how much.
I like to consider this example of glass on a kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm.
If you calculate how much energy you need to move it from point A to point B, and then you push it, scoot it over. Or if you put water on the counter and hydroplane it over.
There we go. All right.
It's a different amount of energy because it's a different process.
All right. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Our guest tonight is Dr. Judy Wood. We are talking about the events as they unfolded September 11th, 2001. America, you were there. Well, get on the phones tonight at 877-353-1310 and let's talk about it on Colorado's first radio station, News Talk 1310. We are America Now.
1310 KFKA. Don't worry, we've got Northern Colorado covered, keeping you informed. News Talk 1310 KFKA. Wake up with AM Colorado, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 and 1310 KFKA. Colorado's first choice every morning.
From fiction and getting to the truth behind the stories, the headlines of the day, that's the dedicated commitment to America Now. Scott and Barb are joining us in the studio as always. We've got an hour or two lined up. A third hour, by the way, I'll let you know now.
Mm-hmm.
Lionel Fanthorpe will be joining us from across the pond. He'll be calling us from England. He'll be using 877-353-1310. We still have 970-353-1310 open, as well as 877-TRUTH-88. We're talking about the infamous 9/11/2001 again, September 11th, 2001. Everybody remembers where they were based upon the media telling you, repeating, sliding.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I understand it.
That's being a reverse engineer spin doctor. Hey, I'm watching this is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Just, we're not dealing with Krispy Kremes. We're dealing with Homeland Security.
Social issues. Next war.
I mean, I knew watching it unfold, as I think most Americans, our gut is right. Our third eye is right. This ain't right. Something doesn't add up.
Mm-mm.
And again, by the next morning, for those who went to bed, because again, America was traumatized. Now they got it on.
Oh, they couldn't. They couldn't turn it off.
Well, they couldn't because again, even TV Land screwed up. Leave It to Beaver and threw on CNN.
Yeah, they all had it on.
Well, and you wonder what's next. If this has happened, if we've got three four planes involved in this. What's next? Is this the beginning of a cascade of events, or is this truly just it?
Well, it's now midnight on the East Coast, which now makes it effectively 12/10/2008. In the next 48 to 72 hours, according to the rickety time machine, we could see some dancing mountains.
We move into earthquake territory. Big earthquake territory.
That's what it really means.
Yeah, this is true.
It could be earthquakes.
And they did,
it could be
because in this
else?
Hour with Judy Wood, what we're going to be talking about is not thermite and not thermite, although may have been used as one of the tools for assisting in taking down Towers 1 and Tower 2. But here, real quick, just the two of you, because I say this, I've said this for years, because everybody's like, well, Tower 7, and they're like, well, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, they don't know.
And, well, Tower 7 fell later that afternoon, and everybody says, well, why?
Well, the one the BBC announced 22 minutes ahead of time had fallen.
But when
script.
So my first question is I always ask people, how many buildings collapsed on September 11th? And they say, two. And I say, nice try. There were three. Yeah. What? Tower 7. When did that happen? In the afternoon?
Late in the afternoon.
Why did it fall down? And I, without blinking an eye, say, due to loneliness.
Oh, no.
Because that story makes more sense. Okay?
It could be. You know, she's got a list of things here. Some of the principal data that must be explained. The Twin Towers are destroyed faster than physics can explain by free fall collapse.
We have firefighters unions, engineers, steel workers, electricians, physicists have all created, again, psycho kooky blog sites that go, you know what? Everything we've ever been taught, this doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. The free fall doesn't make sense. One of the things that was brand new to me that I'd come across the first time on Dr. Judy Wood's site was the rust effect.
Yeah.
Wasn't that strange?
Well, that is really bizarre.
The rust. Are you there, Dr. Wood?
I am.
What explains the rust, the orangeness, the instant rust on these things?
Right. Steel doesn't rust like that. That's why they build buildings out of structural steel.
Mm-hmm.
And steel is iron with other, carbon and other doodads added in that improve its mechanical properties as well as anti-rusting. So, yeah, you don't see a steel pipe rusting like that. It gets creeping crud over a long period of time, and it gradually has problems, but not instantly, and especially not bright orange. But there is something we know that looks like that. An iron skillet.
Mm-hmm.
If you scrub an iron skillet with acetone or clean, and then put it in the sink and put water in it and come back an hour later, it's going to be bright orange.
Right.
So what this is telling us is that the steel became iron. It had to have been demolecularized to do that.
All right.
And
so
what would what would do that?
What does your research tell you can do that?
I started looking at the work of John Hutchison.
The Hutchison effect.
Yeah, the Hutchison. Yeah.
For our listeners who don't know what the Hutchison effect is, I don't care who answers it. Just let's get this out so they don't have to waste more Google time.
Do you want to share that with us, Dr. Wood?
The Hutchison effect is a series of different properties, different characteristics. Metal turns to jelly and later resolidifies. Sometimes, things just turn into dust. Sometimes they levitate. It seems to be that you get either lift or disruption. In other words, either the material comes apart, if it's not lifting up, or it levitates.
So you could, in doing this, you can put a spoon inside a block of glass, and the two are then one.
Sometimes that happens. John Hutchison, doesn't do it real calculated, doesn't take notes and do it in a regimented manner. He just plays around and has fun.
And that would, I guess, listeners who don't really have their arms around this, the Philadelphia experiment.
Mm-hmm. Molecular bonding.
Okay.
Yeah.
The men now fused to part of the bridge.
Sailors in the bridge, yeah. Yeah. Not a pretty sight.
Yeah, there's a particular series on my website with the Hutchison effect showing on one side, here's pictures from the World Trade Center, and then over on the other side, here's pictures from John Hutchison's work. And there's a one-to-one correlation with each of the phenomena that we saw.
That's interesting.
Including upside-down cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how did all these cars get parked upside down around the World Trade Center.
Oh, crazy kids.
Yeah.
It's New York.
they're upside down. Is there a better way to park them? They fit better. If they're not upside down, I call them toasted. They're totaled. They're destroyed.
You know, in all fairness, my memory banks are replaying the first 72 hours of 9/11, and not one reporter, many reporters, again, mm-hmm. explosions, multiple explosions, mm-hmm. but nobody reported feeling the ground shaking even when the towers allegedly collapsed.
Or maybe they went...
And that includes the seismograph. It didn't report much of a shaking of the ground either.
No, it sure didn't. It reported many things, but it didn't report large seismic activity.
Now, did you know that when Building 7 was destroyed, you really can't pick out what the signal was from the background noise?
What does that tell you?
That it didn't slam to the ground.
So it was like it was almost went weightless for a time, pulverized, and then let go.
And it snowed to the ground like, you know, snow.
Softly.
That doesn't make a thud when it hits.
Interesting. So there was a space-time distortion established around these buildings, and in that boundary, that's where the effect was felt.
Yeah, something happened, you know, to the buildings.
Basically, the physics can't explain that, can they?
Well, I mean, not the physics that we're taught in school. There's another physics.
Not the ones I know.
The physics of Nikola Tesla?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's been around for 100 years. We just don't get taught about that in school.
There's a reason why. You only get taught that when you get brought into black ops. Then we've got this
electrogravity.
this is the rest of the education, like the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. This is the rest of your education.
But as for bombs in the building, if you used explosives to blow up the building, there's still solid chunks that go flying, and they still land.
Mm-hmm.
And you would still have something sensed on the seismograph.
Mm-hmm.
This is something different.
Wow. Well, I'm looking at your page.
There's so many anomalies. I want to get back to these when we come back from the break.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a list of about 41 anomalies, the principal data that needs to be explained. And we'll be back to dive into this lengthy list of questions surrounding 9/11.
We're going to get to those questions as well as your questions. North America, if you're in the chat room, you know how to use technology, then you can use the phone. What do you say? You get on those phones at 877-353-1310 or 970-353-1310 or the America Now Talk Hotline at 877-TRUTH-88. Hotline, of course, as always, sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy. God bless you and God bless the Project America Now. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome back, America. It is America Now. POTUS 44 getting ready to take over. Hopefully we'll see a little technology come out of there and maybe a little truth behind what's been going on in the military-industrial complex for the last 60 years. But as he's promised, Hope, I'm not going to hold my breath for this one.
You might end up a little blue.
And I'm not encouraged with Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the crack staff as we talk about the Fairness Doctrine and Al Gore's creation of the internet and all of this monkey business. Sites like drjudywood.com, I fear, may go to the wayside. Maybe considered hate speech,
mm-hmm.
could be considered anti-Semitic, could be considered
anti-American,
unpatriotic. Dr. Judy, what do you have to say about that?
I say it's patriotic.
I agree.
Hear, hear.
I agree.
Okay.
We need free energy. We need technology.
Independent research.
Well, let's pick it up with Tesla, yes. Because again, as Americans are supposed to believe, T. Boone Pickens has the plan. You brought up. You know what?
Tesla
don't even
had the plan.
On this little...
oh, Tesla no. had the plan. We could have been energy independent 80 years ago.
T. Boone Pickens, this is all about cornering water. This has nothing to do with air, nothing to do about a new grid. This is about and the water rights to all of this monkey business. And Nancy Pelosi and her little futures scam is going to make Hillary Rodham Clinton's futures scam look like...
Walk in the park?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just
or a yellow brick road?
We'll leave it at that. But, Doctor, you were bringing up Tesla. And, again, 100 years worth of suppressed information. How does that pertain to what we're talking about of the events of 9/11?
But, it is interesting that we have alternating current, mm-hmm. and Tesla is the one responsible for that. Yeah, we don't get. Yeah, he's responsible for just about everything. It seems like at some level of this new technology we have. But John Hutchison tried to replicate Tesla's work, and that's how he discovered the Hutchison effect.
So he was going down the right road.
Yeah, he just thought it was kind of cool just to, see if he could
do it.
Yeah.
And he's in Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken, and has had his lab, his home lab, confiscated at least once that I'm aware of.
Yeah, once or twice, I think.
Yeah, they do it every once in a while. It's something to do to keep from getting bored.
Doctor, have you ever been harassed or threatened because of the information you provide at drjudywood.com?
Yeah, no, that's just it's par for the course.
How does it manifest itself? Just so I, when it happens to me, I know whether
You'll know.
Oh dear.
Well, no. How does it happen? Explain it to me.
I don't like to, I guess, dwell on that stuff because that gives the bad guys, more credit.
Yeah.
But are they men in black or do they come as your friends?
All sorts of ways.
You're not helping me.
Don't
I think
don't
that's a detriment.
Don't press her on this one.
MO, there's a new one.
She needs to stay safe, so don't press her on it.
All right. But I mean, the information's out there, and you've had hundreds of thousands, if not millions of hits now and downloads, and people continue to use your information as reference points for their information. So I think the genie is out of the bottle, but we're watching an administration rapidly try and put every genie back in the bottle. So, Doctor, I mean, what are your concerns for this new administration? Do you worry that your site will be taken down, or do you believe that you can keep it up and running? Do you think that the truth will stay out there? What do you think?
I don't know because I don't have a crystal ball. I just know what we have now.
All right.
And what we know now, and that we can spread the word now.
Well, let's go back to Hutchison and Tesla, and because I know, Scott, a lot of the questions parallel some of the work you've done with weatherwarsinfo.blogspot.com.
Well, it's being able to deliver energy either through a beam or through the interference zone where two energy beams cross, whether you add energy or extract energy, or exothermic mode. And if they've got a tight beam pattern laid on the tops of these towers, aircraft or satellite, low orbit based, no doubt, and they're MILSATs, they're military satellites, then I suppose they can do just about anything they want. If they've been able to harness this planet's weather for some 30 years, then bringing down a pair of towers, a known target, a stationary target ahead of time, doesn't seem to be too big of a stretch.
That's a piece of cake. One thing that's kind of interesting is these 24-foot diameter cylindrical holes in buildings.
And there were holes in the windows, too, were there not, in nearby buildings? And
the Bankers Trust building across the street?
Right, and that building didn't have any fire.
Oh.
Yeah, interesting, isn't
it? And the window looks like, Swiss cheese.
And that's not just blown out from the air being forcibly evacuated in, quote-unquote, the pancake effect.
It looks like something went wild with a soldering iron and, poked a bunch of holes in the windows.
There are burn. I mean, serious burn issues on the sides of those surrounding buildings.
Burn?
It looked like there was steel that was twisted and aluminum that was kind of exploded from the inside out, if I'm looking at the right thing.
And yet, supposedly, there wasn't enough high heat to do that kind of burning.
Yeah, that's an interesting, connection, again, with John Hutchison's work, is these things that look like fires at room temperature.
Oh.
Interesting.
Cool.
And, how could that be?
You see pictures around the World Trade Center where paper isn't burning next to
a car that
is.
So,
and the firefighters walk right through it.
So it's like the weapon is then tuned to the resonance frequency of metals and not to a thermal ignition point of Fahrenheit 451, if you will.
Yeah, correct. That's another reason why I can rule out, bombs in the building. Mm-hmm. They don't discriminate on materials. And there's a bunch of toasted cars in the neighboring streets and some further away on the other side of the island.
Mm-hmm.
where, you know, different parts are affected differently. The engine block could be missing.
Missing?
But the rest of the car is there, and the paint isn't disturbed on the car.
That's bizarre.
We've got a call right now. Let's go to the phone lines.
Let's go to our phones, 877-353-1310 or 877-TRUTH-88. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from, please?
Marty from Greeley.
Marty, what's your question tonight?
I was wondering, you guys are talking about the possible satellites taking down the towers. I was wondering if all of you are in agreement that your theory is that the government was totally involved with the destruction of the towers and the cover-up and everything involved. It was all the government's doing.
I don't think we've said that.
We haven't.
No, we haven't.
We're just looking at the evidence and knowing
and
that something's...
And trying to determine what's wrong.
I didn't mean that you said that. I was just wondering if that was what you thought.
Nobody's been...
I haven't thought about that, Annie, and, you know, who done it. You have to first figure out what happened.
Yeah. And that's right.
Yeah, there's so many different things and so many different theories out there.
Okay, well, I was just wondering, because I've watched a lot of those 9/11 movies, and I agree there seems to be something fishy, but I wasn't able to ascertain from you guys' conversation if you thought the government was behind it.
Well,
or
Marty,
not.
What do you think?
Who could do it but? I mean, who has control of the information to mold the story in the direction it's gone? Who has the authority to put NORAD in test mode, doing a hijacking experiment run the morning of 9/11.
Who has the ability to have FEMA at ground zero the day before?
Yeah.
Who has the ability to shut down communications? Who has the ability to communicate with the Secret Service and move Congress without, again, by their own testimony?
And
we never in a million years foresaw an event like this. How could we?
Well, then how did we get intelligence from something like 33 or 44 other nations' intelligence agencies
warned us?
And the Israelis were so specific about the warning that they warned their nationals not to go to work in the World Trade Center towers that day.
So, Marty, what does that tell you?
I have a theory.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, like you can throw it out there so you guys can punch holes in it.
Right on.
I think it's plausible. The first attack on the World Trade Center was, back in about 93 or so?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
So after that, it's pretty obvious that there could be potential attacks in the future. Knowing this, I think that some people, be it government or people who own the buildings, Tower 7 including, and the World Towers, what would be so wrong about outfitting them with explosives in case an event in the future, if something happened, that instead of having one of those buildings fall over sideways, taking out other buildings, causing way more damage, we could pull them, like it said on some of those documentary
like
films.
Like Mr. Silverstein did say in PBS's
exactly.
When the Towers Fell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So instead of the government blowing them down, terrorists did hit those towers with airplanes. And because they were already outfitted, in case something like that happened, somebody with some brains said, hey, lift. Pull these before the damage is further. And the guy who owns Tower 7 later
Mr.
on...
Mr. Silverstein,
says,
he owns Tower
7. And he just bought them. He bought them in July.
He owned the entire tower setup, then he insured them and deliberately made sure to insure them against a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the testicular, unbelievable, whatever you want to call it, to not only collect on Tower 1, but on Tower 2... And yet,
as two instances,
and yet didn't collect on Tower 3.
Yeah.
It
right,
fell.
Did he
get the money for that?
Did he collect on Tower 7?
No.
I'm sorry, the third tower,
seven.
Tower 7.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I didn't mean Tower
yeah.
3.
The third tower.
Okay,
tower
well,
7.
So there's motive for him to pull them there. And as far as the other two strikes, Flight 93 over Pennsylvania,
yep.
I believe it's quite possible that plane may have been shot down because after the two planes crash into the towers, you now know how you have another plane potentially heading for either the Capitol building or the White House. So an order is sent out by the government to shoot that plane down, and we'll make a nice story about it. Movies will be made. These people will be heroes. We can cover that up, but don't lose the Capitol building and the White House.
Yeah. Well,
The Pentagon.
Funny how in capitalism we call them heroes, and in Islam they call them martyrs.
The only problem with this is that it is wholly inconsistent with the way the explosions went down. The buildings were pulverized before they hit the ground.
Well, maybe it was used by military satellites, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
but that still is less sinister than our government setting up the whole thing if after the fact, retroactive, they decide to use the military satellites to pulverize them, just like with the Pentagon.
Then they should have been honest with us about it up front and told us why.
I agree. I'm just giving a competing theory.
Oh, that's a really good theory.
Thank you, though.
Yeah.
I got one more for you. The Pentagon. Why is that hole? And I agree, the hole is suspicious looking with that attack. If a plane went through that little bitty hole, how is that? Well, maybe a plane didn't go through that hole. Maybe after they shot down the Flight 93 over Pennsylvania, and maybe in conjunction with having the military satellites or detonations within those buildings pulling down to limit damage.
Or maybe it was a missile, but we need to conclude this right now. We'll carry it on later if you want to.
On the other side of the break.
Yeah, I'll wait.
Marty, thanks for the call. Hold right there. Dr. Judy Wood is also on hold, and so can you be with this discussion at 877-353-1310 or 877-TRUTH-88. I'm Scooter McGee. We'll be right back.
Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. Keep listening to America Now.
News Talk 1310 KFKA, named best newscast in a major market by the Colorado Broadcasters Association. Why get your news from anyone but the best?
1310 KFKA Greeley. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. Keep listening to America Now.
Well, there's tyranny, there's lies, but there's truth out there, and that's what the show America Now is dedicated to. Scott Barb and myself, we're sitting in having a discussion with Dr. Judy Wood. You can follow along on the World Wide Web at drjudywood.com, drjudywood.com. Can't find your way there, get to America Now, that's America with a K, now.com. And be a part of the biggest, latest radio craze that North America will ever see come 2009.
Yeah, definitely.
We've got Marty on the phones with us. We're also inviting all of our callers to call in, whether it's in Colorado at 970-353-1310 or toll-free across the United States at 877-353-1310 or compliments of our friends at GoDaddy. Our telephone number at 877-TRUTH-88. That's 877-878-8488. I'll get it.
You're doing a great job, though.
7,000 phone numbers stuck in my head.
877-TRUTH-88.
That's exactly right.
Yep. So we get back to...
we're going to get back to Marty on the phones with Dr. Judy Wood, and I'm going to go back and do some more call screening. So we'll just pick it up there. Judy, you're with us?
Yes, I am.
And let's make sure that Marty is still... Marty, you're with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Excellent.
And I want you guys to know I enjoy your show, and I appreciate how you guys allow competing thoughts on your show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
But the last part of my government minimization of damage theory comes with the Pentagon, where the odd-shaped hole in it. I think, because in a couple of those movies I've seen, they said that they saw a craft that looked somewhat like a C-130 in the area. I think it's quite possible that there was a plane headed for there, too, and that C-130 aircraft shot at it, missed, hit the Pentagon, then pursued the other plane out over the water and shot it down in the water. That's
a plausible argument.
Well, let's go get the wreckage.
Yeah, if nobody saw the wreckage, how convenient for the government that we don't have to go get the wreckage.
This is true. This is true.
So thank you for hearing all those, and I'll get off and listen to you guys punch holes into all my little theory there.
Well, I wanted to ask...
Thanks for floating it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dr. Wood about toilets.
Toilets. That's a good question.
Every firefighter, not a piece of the phone pad, not a chair, not a desk,
nothing.
Not a file cabinet, nothing.
Not a piece of a toilet.
That's amazing. And you did numbers that were like 2,700 toilets in those buildings.
Yeah, with the number, the occupancy, and the number of guests and so forth, there's some calculations you can go through. And it's not just the toilets in those two buildings, because we also are missing Building 4 and we're missing Building 3. They're gone.
Wow.
The north wing of 4 is there, but the rest is just nothing down to the ground, just powder. And so we're missing buildings. What about what was in them? Toilets, you know, ceramic should survive a lot of stuff, at least chunks of it should.
You know, Doctor, a lot of those who'll try to break a hole or put a hole in your argument, a lot of, unfortunately, they're very impressive buildings. They're status symbols, but they were vacant. World Trade Center Towers 1 and 2 were...
Were not.
Well, they're I know occupied. They weren't, but they no. keep claiming the predominance of floors were vacant.
At 9 in the morning?
Would you know there wasn't a lot of businesses that actually leased property inside World Trade. Many of the floors were simply vacant.
Oh, please.
Ah, but you still should have toilets.
I agree. You're preaching to the choir here.
People don't move out with the tenants.
They still need to be cleaned. Yeah. So I, what I'm thinking or trying to visualize is how this weapon does it. Do we have an oscillation between marble, ceramic, those kind of natural...
Conduit, copper, the fiber optic cable.
All of it. It's just poof.
I mean, because we've talked about resonance on certain shows.
And yet the papers, a lot of the papers survive.
It's organic.
Well, that's... Yeah, I mean, But wood, paper, conduit, copper, what did I just say? The fiber optic, all of these, wouldn't they in theory have different resonance properties?
They should. Different chemical makeups.
Yeah, I've seen so many similarities with the Hutchison effect. When you start talking about the paper issue, I go back and think of, okay, what samples have I seen of John's that look like whatever? He's got a block of aluminum with a piece of aluminum resolidified around it. It looks like melted aluminum was poured over a piece of wood, and the piece of wood did not burn.
Now my brain just... Because I've got all the archives in my head. I'm like a human TiVo. She said bend.
Back.
She said bend. And that's a big thing. They keep talking about how the steel now started to bend because...
Sagging. The heat.
Because the asbestos had been knocked off it by the impact on the infamous floors that were hit. But then that doesn't explain how the steel bent below it. Or, and Judy, there's a couple of great interviews on your website, drjudywood.com, that I hope our listeners will at least watch. But one of them is you interviewing somebody who just, when faced with reason, when faced with documents, when faced with photographs, he... you know, sidestepped, issue avoided, and wouldn't answer your question. But one of the questions I found most interesting in how you asked it is the portion of towers 1 and 2 that were above the impact line. And we would talk about, okay, if an aircraft hit, then let's just leave it at the aircraft. But the mass of both towers 1 and 2 above the point of impact. And the argument that as the towers fell and collapsed upon themselves, shouldn't the top of the tower be at the bottom of the pile, not necessarily intact,
but there,
but not dust.
Yeah, the roof, should have ridden the pile down, according to the official story.
Right.
And you should see pieces of roof there.
In theory, correct?
The radio antennas, the communication, something, all that gear something. Should have been on top.
Air conditioners.
That helps.
Some pieces of something. But it's pulverized.
Even more exciting, Tower 2 had that top chunk of about 34 or 35 floors tip over.
Oh, yes.
Over.
It tipped to the side, but then uprighted itself.
And then it went away before it hit the ground.
It did.
That's right.
It's like it was just it run through a filter. And just
had it hit the ground,
lifted.
It would have landed on Building 4. But it turned to powder, but you know Building 4 disappeared as well.
What does that tell you?
Building 4 was just you could sweep up the remains, except there were some outer columns from Tower 2 that laid down on the empty lot.
And those columns, I want to get to that. Some of the columns, weren't they bent in a vertical axis and yet in the shape that they were bent like that?
Exactly.
They should have been on a horizontal axis?
Exactly. If you stand on a soda can, it buckles.
Mm-hmm.
It's buckling around a horizontal axis. Thing bends outward, buckles outward. But imagine bending it around a vertical axis, curling it tighter.
It doesn't make sense.
And if the building, if the steel was weakened somehow, and that's why the buildings went away, you should have buckled columns. In other words, columns with kinks in them. And the few columns you see left in the rubble pile, you see long, straight columns, but those outer walls were built of prefab sections of 3 columns wide by 3 stories tall with these spandrel plates holding them together.
Okay.
I call those wheat checks, those units. And you see these wheat checks still straight, but they're curled up around the vertical axis. like the spandrel plates bent. And, you know, how do you get something like that to bend? It's not loaded in that direction.
It's not, is it? No, the weight-bearing columns. Wow.
It can't happen. But it did.
There is something we've seen like that, a similar phenomenon, especially getting near the holidays here. You think of packaging ribbon. How do you curl that?
You distort
one side of the ribbon.
Oh, you distort one side of the ribbon, and then you get that twist.
Then you get that.
Then it curls. It doesn't kink. It just curls up.
Interesting.
And we see a lot of curly beams, like one side was affected and the other side wasn't.
Wow.
Would that explain somewhat, too, why some of the marble on some of the adjoining buildings might be missing, and yet some of it's intact on the rest of the buildings?
WFC1 is of interest to me. It's World Financial Center 1. I think also 2 was affected. 3 wasn't as affected, but they had this marble trim around the doors, around the entries, and there was absolutely no marble left.
It's just gone.
You know, stab wounds in the rest of the facade. There's only those holes in the windows, but no marble. So it seems like it's something that targets marble.
So, and that's why I brought up the oscillating resonance. You're targeting cement. These buildings were just too close, and they couldn't confine the beam enough, and you had some spillage over.
We're reflecting,
I always come
back to optics because that's what my background is. And I think of, like a mirror reflecting stray beams off into different places.
Interesting.
Momentarily. But there's stories about some of the people who did make it out of Tower 1. When they're coming down the stairs, they got down to the lobby, and they described the marble walls aligning the lobby as just breaking and crumbling off the walls.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Did they report any physical effects or...
They were probably so traumatized, and people aren't like tape recorders.
No, they're not.
They see things from whatever perspective they're operating in. But one thing we can do is observe them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's images of people leaving the buildings with bright red faces. It's like every capillary is burst.
Wasn't Colonel Bearden the one that termed it, I'm trying to remember this, mind snapper mode or something like that, when people are in the direct path of an EM beam, they would have that, it would have that kind of an effect on them?
I'm not familiar with that, but I am familiar with the active denial system, which is microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And the microwaves are, make the skin feel like it's burning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be the same thing with this mind snapper mode. You're basically kind of cooking from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. It's not burning, but it feels like it is. Because the sensors in the skin pick up
react.
That sense faster than the actual thing that's happening.
So those nerve endings are stimulated, and ouch! And that's why they call it non-lethal.
Right, but it can become lethal.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, if you're subjected to it.
Because of things... I've been looking at, remember the jumpers that come out of the buildings?
Oh, yes.
That doesn't look right. We had so many firefighters saying they've never seen anything like this before in their lives.
People jumping.
Why is this going on? Why are they jumping out? And I don't think those people chose to jump. If you put your hand on a hot stove burner, you don't think about it. It just flies off that burner.
Oh, so you think the building was being subjected to these energies ahead of time, and they just needed to get out of that circumstance?
It put them in this mode.
Yeah.
And
fight or fight.
They felt like they're burning up.
Wow. Well, we'll come back and conclude the interview with Dr. Judy Wood after this.
Who are you? Where do you come from? Are you listening to me? What do you want to do with your life?
Can't make heads or tails of what's really going on? Listen to the third side of the coin's discussion with America Now.
Welcome back. North America, Northern Colorado, all points on the globe. Yes, even up on the International Space Station, you can talk to myself, Scott, Barb, and our guest tonight, Dr. Judy Wood. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to take a night off from the headlines of the day, and we're going to look at some interesting headlines in the discussion with Lionel Fanthorpe from Cryptomundo.com. We're going to talk with him as well as with you, the listeners, at 877-353-1310 or 877-TRUTH-88, as the case may be, for America Now. Dr. Judy Wood is joining us back on the phones. Judy, you're there?
Yes, I am.
I guess before we wrap up this last segment, I like to always ask a question of every guest we have on, and that would be not to suggest that you're in poor health. We hope that you live 100 years. Chin don to you. But in your lifetime, what do you hope that the body of work that you've done at drjudywood.com, what do you hope to achieve?
To see if we can get people to realize what's going on before it's too late, and that they have a choice.
Do you think it's too late already?
It's never too late.
Okay, fair enough.
It's just work is harder.
Otherwise, what do you do tomorrow? You know, if you give up today. You know, and again, it's just a matter of putting the data out there and allowing people to sit down and peruse it at their own speed and their pace, and then come to their own realizations as they become ready.
Exactly. You know, that's what I like about the way of just looking at the evidence. You don't need to speculate.
Mm-mm.
You don't need to, you know, have a theory or any kind of guesstimation.
You follow
the
data.
Data. Yeah, and you see what's going on. Like, example with the jumpers. There's a picture of a guy who's, you know, partway down, and he's 100 feet from the building. That's not a tumbling out the window.
No, that's a fleeing.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And if you're really overheated, can you break the world's record for a standing broad jump?
You're getting your hand under some cold water after you've just burned it on the stove. Like relief now.
Yeah, and they do look like that.
Wow.
Like the falling man, he looks like he's just solved the biggest problem in his life.
He did.
Just hasn't figured out how to solve the next one.
Yeah, the ground quickly approaching. Wow.
And those people, my heart goes out to them. They taught us a lot if you look at what they're saying, at what they're telling us. So if you look at the data, at the evidence, it'll tell you what happened.
So did you start exploring the 9/11 and getting into it immediately, or was it something that kind of sat around for a year or two and then you dove in sometime down the road after there was already a 9/11 movement in progress, or how did that genesis happen?
I thought about it immediately and had a difficult time with it and came to a conclusion about the timing and so forth, but you know, none of my colleagues could deal with it. And I felt really ostracized, mm-hmm. like it was something, it was socially unacceptable to talk about, politically incorrect. And I, like everybody else, put my head down and tried to stuff it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to the 2004 presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
And they remember they said in the 2000 election that, you know, there are problems, but we'll fix them next time.
Yeah.
I saw that they didn't fix them. And I realized at that moment, I had to do it. You know, I had to do something. I couldn't sit and allow it to continue because then I was being complicit.
Well, because we all carry a weight when you're in a pioneer in this field of research, whether it's 9/11, whether it's finances. I mean, there's so many. There's this leading edge of information of people that get the big picture and want to share it, and it is a way you want to do something with that knowledge. You want to share that and put those stones down on the path so somebody else doesn't have to work so hard to cover the ground you did,
and you get beat up for it too.
it happens, but I think that's one of the, for me it was part of the inner debate of choosing to go forward or not, and at some point you say, I got to do it. I got to know where this goes. I got to help somebody else.
It's all about the truth.
Yeah.
And it's all about observations. And with, you know, like I say, you can find out what happened by just looking at the data. It's the same thing. If we have this other area of physics that we see in this data, you know, you can't hold that back either.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't deny that it exists.
And think of all the good things we could do with it.
Oh,
yeah, that would be wonderful. Turning to the positive.
Oh, correct. And you know, we already know that they've gotten into the bad uses of it. Yeah. Whoever they
exactly.
is, it's just a generic they I use.
Mm-hmm.
But So there's no risk in using it for good.
Well, you would think that they're, and maybe they are, at some point, but they're not owning up to the use of the technology for good or for bad. It's just not acknowledged
at
all.
It's the disclosure.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not discuss 9/11, right?
Very good, yeah.
You know, and I've not watched United 93, and I haven't watched any of those Hollywood production movies.
Yeah, neither have I.
I just, and I think I will at some point. It's just, why waste the 2 hours?
Right. They're not telling you what the story is.
No. No, and I think all it would do is piss me off a little more. Yeah. So, wow, amazing. Amazing. And the cool part about your work is once you lay the perspective of how the demolecularization and the dustification, you look at the at 9/11 and how the towers came down and the debris fields and the whole circumstance in a very different light. At least
yeah,
I am.
The building went away.
It did.
It's down to ground level. You can see through the complex from east to west at ground level.
Wow.
And it should be a 110-story building in front of you.
And
it's just gone.
Yeah.
How much of that debris do you believe went airborne and drifted off the site?
Well, from my calculations, all but about 3% for the towers, for Tower 1. And
floated away.
99.7% of it for... Building 7.
Wow. Yeah, wow, that's right.
Wow. And that's a little easier to come to those numbers when you've got some space-based surveillance, when you can see those plumes and aerial photographs. And
I'm basing it on the seismographic evidence. If you take the density and decrease it down to 3/1000s, or is it, 3/1000s, of the original density of Building 7, mm-hmm. and then drop that to the ground, you get the same impact. Or if you take the bottom two floors and drop them to the ground, you get the same seismic impact.
So the seismic impact was the effect of just two floors of that 110?
No, that's of Building 7.
Oh, Building 7.
If you want to play some other numbers game, get the top 1.5 floors of Tower 2 and drop them to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
No other building, just
Tower 2.
No, just the top 1.5 floors
and
of
that,
Tower 2.
And that would match the seismic imprint, basically.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, folks, visit drjudywood.com, and you'll get lost for every bit of an afternoon as you reevaluate the experience of 9/11 that all of America has gone through. And America now, you'll look at it in a different light. Thank you, Dr. Wood.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Judy, as we look forward to 2009, we look forward to having you back on the show real soon.
Well, thanks. I look forward to it.
North America, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to go to the top of the hour news, and when we come back, the search for Bigfoot continues on America Now.
She was good.
Turn the
microphones off in the talk studio. There we go.
Clip, clip, clip. When we come back for the third and final hour, a conversation from across the pond with one of our good friends of show, Lionel Fanthorpe. So stand by, America.